This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 140 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, we will be speaking with Kinky Abby and all about anal. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting next to me is the Beast. What do you know, Beast?
Hey, Woody. Seems like just days or hours since I was here last.
Well, we were blessed to be on a live phone hookup recently, which was kind of interesting, called the Lighthouse BDSM Conference Call, I think.
Yeah, and they were very hospitable individuals.
The phone call went on for 2 hours, which was amazing. People talking and asking questions to us. We're not used to being in the hot seat.
I'm not used to being interviewed. I felt special.
You are special.
In that special way, too. Woody, I haven't been this excited in quite a while.
You're just bubbling in the chair.
I am looking past you at the lovely Kinky Abby on our Skype screen, and she's coming to us again from the great state of Oregon.
That's the same Kinky Abby we've had before.
Yes, it is. Hi, Abby.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Kinky Cast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Abby, you are a amazing entrepreneur.
Thank you.
You do live shows from the very room that you're sitting in right now.
Yes.
So that makes you a cam model, I guess, right?
Welcome to my office.
Ah. And it has a view. You are the view in the office.
Absolutely.
And you have your own website's up and going now, isn't it?
It is. That's been keeping us very busy, but we have it finally up and running and operating, sensualpain.com.
What is sensualpain.com?
Sensualpain.com is a BDSM porn website that mainly features my real life with my master and what we experience. A lot of it is theatrical, of course, for entertainment purposes, but yeah, it's mainly BDSM, and I'm a pretty huge masochist, and he's a pretty huge sadist, so it's some kind of more extreme stuff, but we have started to work with other models as well, and so there's a lot more to come.
Extreme, yeah, that is you. There's no special effects department. Everything you see is real, huh?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Okay, get away from the computer and let's get back to the show.
All right, I will hey. Google her when I get home.
Hey, later. Why can't I see your guys' hands? What are you doing? I'm just kidding.
If you have to ask, you're a little more innocent than I thought you were. All right. Abby, you also shoot down to San Francisco from time to time, don't you?
I have. It was actually Oakland. Oakland, California is where Insex or Intersec was located, and I have done a lot of work with them in BDSM pornography.
They have a really great studio there.
They did have a really wonderful studio there, and they actually just recently moved to Oregon.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
They moved north.
They did, and so we are working very closely with them. Actually, that is who did our website and got it up and running and is hosting it. We kind of joined an affiliate umbrella program through Intersec or Insex.
Was a move related to California's OSHA law?
You know, I don't think the main reason was that. I don't even know the details.
I had heard a lot of studios were operations were leaving the state because of the OSHA complications that the state was putting in. Namely, that condoms had to be used for everything.
Ah, yes.
That was the Cal OSHA. That's not national.
Yeah, Cal OSHA. Okay, well, California's got, what, the 10th largest economy in the world?
Yeah, it was the 5th. It's dropped down to the 10th.
Okay. Yeah. So they have a lot of clout.
That could be a big reason, I would imagine.
What is the life of a cam girl, bondage model, bondage actress like?
Well, this is also something that is going to be kind of featured in its own little group on our website, because I get that question all the time. I mean, like, what do you do? What does your day consist of? What is your life? And so I'm going to kind of be doing a documentary style video series of kind of literally my daily life, which is quite interesting.
So we'll be on the lookout for that coming in the coming months then.
Oh, good. But really, it's always changing. But as far as my cam work goes, in a nutshell, I wake up, if I sleep, that is, you know, I get ready. I basically beautify myself.
As if you need much help.
Oh, trust me. You missed the pre-call where I wasn't.
Oh, where you weren't ready?
It was scary.
It was still good.
Yeah, and then I, you know, a lot of it has to do with networking, editing, videos for people, you know, constantly in a state of what can I do to make things exciting to basically fulfill other people's fantasies at any given moment, or make them come to life at least. That is one of my biggest kinks, actually, is seeing somebody else get enjoyment out of what they're doing, to have an orgasm because of what I'm helping them, you know, achieve, as far as like, or even like helping marriages and sex lives for couples. I can't count the amount of couples that I've had that want to do a live session with me to spice up their love life. So I don't know. It can range so vastly because of my client base being worldwide, and in a lot of ways, this hidden secret fantasy world. You know, there's not one description ever of what I do and how I do it.
It isn't just all in front of the camera. There's a lot more behind the camera of the nuts and bolts and running the business than the camera work itself.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would say that the actual camera time, being in front of the camera, is maybe a quarter of what time goes into the behind the scenes and what I do to keep everything maintained.
How do you keep your own libido up and going with that kind of push, though?
How do I keep my libido going?
Yeah.
It doesn't ever shut off. Honestly, so much of it is not about libido, though, as well. I love sex. I love orgasms. I love, you know, I love making other people have orgasms and feel good about themselves. You know, there's so many times I come into my cam room and I'm not horny or like wanting to be there even. But as soon as I start having interaction with actual people, and it's that live aspect of it, very quickly my mood can change into being sexually aroused, being animalistic sometimes, you know, but sometimes I'm in a really pissed off, bad mood, and it transfers over to the people that are viewing me. And so, you know, you have to be really cautious and aware of where you're at emotionally and mentally before you enter into that, because it really does affect your business.
Now, you were feeding people in your prior life, weren't you?
Yes, I was a chef for 15 years prior to entering into the adult entertainment industry.
I am seeing some parallels here between the two industries. Again, when you're in the kitchen, if you're in the bad mood, it shows up at the table, and the chef gets the same delight from the satisfaction of their customers. So,
and either way, she's feeding people. So
yeah, she's feeding people.
And I'm feeding my butt.
Ooh. Speaking of butts.
What a segue.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go, guys. Yeah.
Last time you were on the show, you talked about anal sex and things like that. We had a huge response from our listeners. And they wanted to know more, and they wanted to know the how-tos and the what-not-to-dos and things like that. And since that's kind of your area of expertise, we thought we'd get you back on to talk about that.
Awesome. I love talking about butt stuff.
When did you discover your butt? That's a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's been following me around, like, ever since I can remember, really.
I was showing it to one of my girlfriends at dinner, and she said, oh, my God, I want that. When did you discover the sexual nature of it?
Actually, this is kind of a shocker to a lot of people, but the first time I actually had anal sex was not that long ago. I had a boyfriend prior to being with my master, like literally right before, who introduced me to anal in a way that I was able to accept it, because I had had partners in the past. You know, obviously they want every dude at some point wants to put it in the butt. I don't care who you are.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Raising hands.
Even if it's just to say that you did it or tried it or whatever. But most guys like really just want it because it's off limits. And for a lot of people, that is. You know, I had had unsuccessful attempts at anal, you know, a lot. And, you know, finally I found a partner who just did it the right way. And I can't even tell you what that right way is, but it was not long ago that I discovered my butt and the pleasures that come from it. As far as going further than just having anal sex and going in more deep into the exploration of anal and different toys and different ways.
Deep is a word here for sure.
I've only been doing that for maybe a little bit over a year, and it's what I call my anal training time period, so to speak. So I really don't have a whole lot of experience per se, but I do have a lot of experience as far as I've done a lot of things, because I just can't stop doing a lot of things.
Let's narrow that down a little bit. A lot of things. For one thing, if anybody on FetLife can get a sample of some of the things you do, for instance, with a 41-inch rubber tongue.
Yes.
How did you discover that you could handle the first 20-some inches of it?
It's super simple. I just put it in my butt. No.
Okay.
There were so many men that are hanging on that said, honey, it's that easy. You just put it in.
See, right? Just put it in her butt. Just put it in her butt. No, I don't recommend that. Don't just put it in her butt. I promise you it won't have good side effects. Well, it began with, you know, regular longer dildos, and they just continued to get longer and longer. And I found, and I realized that, wow, there's some uncharted territory in there, and I want to know where the road ends. I acquired my first probing toy, is what I call them, the longer, skinnier, non-cock shaped toys. With a lot of flexibility to them. And I purchased my first toy, I don't know, a long time ago. It's like, I think it's 19 inches or 20 inches long or something like that. And found that when I'm properly prepared, as far as I've cleaned out, I've done an enema, and there's no air trapped inside of me, you can really go all the way.
All right. The prep, you mentioned prep and clean out.
Yes.
Now, I have heard that the porn actresses actually will starve themselves and flush and all that. But now you're doing this on a regular basis, so you're not, so you can't go that extreme.
I haven't eaten in a year.
Boy, no wonder you're so thin.
I've never actually changed my diet because of anal, but I'm also not working with other humans. I'm working with myself, which is different. I'm sure that, you know, having an accident on someone else's dick is a lot different than having an accident on a dildo. And, you know, being able to hide it and shove it in a corner until you can, you know, take care of it later. But, you know, I don't like having accidents, even with a dildo. So my clean out journey was one of trial and error and a lot of, you know, a lot of searching out information online. One of the biggest things I think for people is that it's kind of scary not knowing what goes on inside of your body, what goes on inside of your anal cavity. You can't see that part of your body. And so it's scary for a lot of people to imagine putting something inside of your body and then having it, you know, come out and it being from a place that's, you know,
taboo,
the dirty place, yeah, or, you know,
the nether regions.
Yeah. And it's a secretive thing that is done in the privacy of your, you know, nobody witnesses that, you know, nobody wants anybody else to witness what the demons within. So a lot of people just end up not discovering about how to properly clean out if you're going to be trying some anal things. And that's another reason why a lot of people don't try anal, like beyond just, you know, I hope by crossing your fingers and hoping, you know, that everything's going to be cool.
What's your volume level of clean out now?
Well, I clean out to some extent, and I do an enema before every time I go on camp because my MO is anal. And there's, without a doubt, I'll immediately be in a situation where I'm using my butt. So it's a part of my daily showering ritual. I have a shower attachment hose with the enema nozzle attachment on the end. And at the end of my shower, I have my specific ritual, which is going to be different for everyone. But, you know, I found certain positions that allow me to do it quickly and easily, and sometimes not so quickly and easily. The body is a fickle, fickle flower.
I have heard that said, that sometimes it goes as planned, and sometimes a couple hours later, it's you have surprises.
Yep, that can definitely happen. However, I have not had a surprise in a very, very long time because I have learned how to read my body, how to read the signs. And also there's different techniques you can do to ensure that you won't have an accident. They're just a little bit more extreme as far as you're probably not going to want to do them every single time. But if you, say, have a video shoot or a porn shoot, there's some things you can do to help you never have that accident.
So if you're planning that a weekend-long gangbang, you may want to go the extra step, right?
Yes, yes, definitely.
So you're just using water?
I'm just using water for the most part. About one to three times a month, I will do a saline enema, which is basically, if I'm not feeling so great, so to speak, or if I just am feeling gross, or, you know, if I have a stomach issue, I'll use a saline enema, and that just flushes your system very speedily. But then I'll finish it off with a water enema.
So the saline in it frees things up?
Absolutely. It extracts everything. Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a definite diuretic. If you want to quickly be in the bathroom, down some salt water.
Now, are you administering at unusual depths, or are you just administering the typical couple inches in?
With my shower attachment hose, I reach quite deep depths. But with my regular bag enema, it's not as pressurized, and so it goes as far as it goes. I don't even know how far the water goes. There's been a few times where I have actually... This is kind of gross.
No, it's good information. Bring it.
Okay. There's been a few times where I've started to get to undigested things like breakfast from the morning of, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't have a gauge of where, how far, if it just, you know, I don't know how far it goes.
Now, our listeners may be wondering, how tall are you, Abby?
I am 5'5".
5'5". And your maximum depth you have reached is?
The maximum depth I've reached is 34 inches.
Which is over half of your height.
Okay.
Well, if you put it that way.
Do you hear a knock on the door of your stomach?
Mm. Yes, it's kind of creepy.
I was kidding.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not. There's those times where, you know, some days I'm like, everything is just like a go. And it's like, it's on. And I can tell from the first minute, I'm like, oh, yeah, today's going to be a good day. And then there's other days where, you know, I'll have an air bubble, just an air bubble stuck somewhere in there. And it ruins everything.
What's an air bubble feel like?
It feels like a Charlie horse or a cramp or a muscle cramp, basically. When you're trying to push past it, it hurts like a knot. And it can be quite painful.
So this is what teenage boys work to get called farts, right?
Oh, man. I wish I could fart. I have such a hard time farting sometimes. It's a huge fetish.
Oh, it could be an added market appeal, huh?
Yes.
What about lube? You told us in a pre-call you use coconut oil.
Yes, I use, to be exact, I use Nutiva Nurture Vitality Coconut Oil.
They order Haru just to do the commercial.
That's right.
Yeah, industrial
size. She's holding it in her hands and doing the Vanna White thing.
And it's a half-gallon jar.
Okay, now I'm seeing it's liquid there.
Well, it's very warm in here. It was actually sitting right next to one of my lights, and so it was liquefied. Okay. But my other one's kind of liquid too, but it's more solid.
Yeah, kind of like a shortening or something.
Yeah. If it's hot up in here, then it turns into the liquid state, yes.
Coconut oil it's natural, and when it goes up into the intestine, it can be easily absorbed without any fear of bringing chemicals and things in.
Yes, I have tried countless numbers of lubrications, and by far, 100 times over, coconut oil is amazing. You can use it on all of your toys. You don't want to leave it on certain toys. But usually your toy will specify, you know, don't use an oil-based lubrication, or if you do, wash it off immediately. But yeah, it tastes good, it smells good, it feels good, and it's good for you. So there's nothing bad about it.
That's a winning combination.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of your show, I've seen you do ass to mouth. So I guess the taste is a factor.
It is. Yeah, when you clean out as regularly and as thoroughly as I do, ass to mouth becomes much more of an option. You know, it's one of those things that can squig people out, or, you know, seem to be like this horrible, gross thing. What people don't realize is the amount that I clean out, it's basically like any other part of my body in cleanliness-wise, you know.
It's also an ultimate taboo for a lot of people.
It is. And so having that option makes it, that action go up as far as intensity or whatever you want to call it.
Now, the blooper reel, have you ever had a surprise when you went to do the ass to mouth?
Ass to mouth specifically? Ooh, well, I have had people spring it on me. You know, we didn't talk about it prior. And maybe it was something going on a little bit. Maybe I wasn't sure yet. And then they would spring it on me like, okay, now put it in your mouth. And I'm like, yeah, no, maybe next time.
Always good to know where it's been.
Yeah. I've never had oh my God, I didn't know that was on my dildo. Grody. No, that hasn't happened.
You haven't had that moment.
No, but I definitely have had some accidents while on cam or in a live video Skype call for sure.
Now, what about afterwards? You clean out, you lubricate regularly. Does everything work like it's supposed to when it's supposed to now?
My bathroom life has changed dramatically. I don't remember the last time I used the bathroom in a normal way, like, or normal to most people.
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that, well, I try to be on camera daily, for even if it's just for a couple hours, or sometimes it's 16 hours. but I'm daily cleaning out in my morning ritual. And so that kind of takes away the necessities of using the toilet for a lot of those moments that people would be using a toilet normally. I guess I do remember the last time I used a toilet in a normal way. But it's very, very rarely now.
Is your diet a standard diet or vegetarian or anything like that?
I am primarily a pescatarian. I eat fish, a lot of seafood, and the rest veggies. But I occasionally have to do the whole, like, pulled pork or bacon. No, but I try to
Did
stay
you see her eyes on that beast?
I saw her eyes. We have found her own fetish.
Yeah, I like sneak, you know, a barbecue day and at least once a month and just gorge on barbecued meats.
You do cam work daily. What's one thing that stands out that was a custom order?
Anal. It's kind of actually why in the first place I dedicated myself to figuring things out about my butthole. It's by far, hands down, the number one request I have. Another one is deep throat and gagging, a sloppy, messy deep throat and gagging. That's another huge one.
And that brings up the endless debate. Do you want rid of the gag reflex or do you want to keep it?
For me personally, I'm not a huge fan of the whole feeling of gagging or puking or what have you, but I don't have a very sensitive gag reflex. I'm able to find it if I want to. It's more of a mental thing for me, I guess. Like, it's a mind over matter thing to be able to work past that reflex. But if I don't want to, I just don't think about it, and all of a sudden there's my gag reflex. That's how it works for me.
And now we're wondering, will the two meet in the middle someday?
That's a very common question when people are witnessing my anal adventures for the first time. I get the exclamation, "Oh my God, is it going to come out of your mouth?" When I'm 20 inches and counting deep.
It's kind of like a jump rope with handles on each end, you know? Floss.
Yes.
Have you went for a girth or are you just a length girl?
I am both, actually. I'm a girth and a length kind of gal.
What was it like when your own hand popped in the first time?
Oh, it was like I had just won a marathon. Wait, you don't win marathons. I had just won everything related. It was funny. My first time that I got my fist in my asshole, I had been trying to help someone else achieve my hand. And it just wasn't working, and it wasn't working. We spent a long time, and it was romantic. I think there was candles involved. And I was so into the experience I was having with this other person that I was like, well, gosh, I'm almost there. You know, like, maybe I, hang on just a minute, you know? And I was already sexually aroused and, you know, in the mood. And so I just, you know, I reached back and I had a moment with myself. And all of a sudden, wow, look at that. My fist went in my butt.
So when that happens, what feeling do you have? So you have the pressure that's pressing on to your G-spot and all kinds of things?
Oh, yeah. I find that the biggest challenge with fisting yourself is your arms are never long enough. And so you end up tiring yourself out or straining yourself, your back, before you actually really get to enjoy what you're doing. No, but it is enjoyable. You know, obviously you can, when you're administering it on yourself, you can immediately locate G-spots or prostate or what have you. So yeah, it can be very, very pleasurable, the whole self-fisting.
Does your daily routine include yoga, or what kind of warm-up? Because you get into some interesting contortions.
Well, I don't exercise. I don't do yoga.
And there's a lot of bitches in the world that are hating you right now.
I know.
But she does this contortion cam work that they don't.
I tell people that sex is my exercise. Sexercise.
I've heard of worse things than that, you know? It's,
I think you could probably patent this routine in the coming
sure
world.
It's already been patented.
Not your version, I'm sure.
No, I've always been really flexible, sometimes overly flexible. And I've always worked really, really hard and worked my body really hard in whatever I do. So stretching is always a huge part of my everyday life. I mean, I stretch when I'm cooking in the kitchen, doing the dishes, doing the laundry. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm usually, you know, putting tension on one of my muscles because it feels good.
I do remember one picture of you with your knees tucked in your armpits, which was kind of interesting.
Yes, I can. Yes, I've got the whole feet over my head position down too.
That brings us back to your sensual pain and your insects work. And those look like very demanding sessions.
Yes.
And how long does a shoot usually take?
Well, because sensual pain is mine and my master's baby, we can take up to, you know, 8 hours on one set. But it's spread out between a time that's not paying someone who's on the clock.
Yeah.
But for the, you know, infernal restraints or a hard tied or real time bondage, it's anywhere from 3 to 5 hours, I believe, is kind of their window.
So the tears we see in those are really earned.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not capable of producing fake tears. And it's actually kind of difficult to get real tears out of me sometimes. But yeah, it's all real.
And what's going through your mind at hour four? You're tired, you're exhausted, and it just goes on. What goes through your mind?
Honestly, by hour four, I'm not even keeping track of time at that point, and it feels like it's been 20 minutes. That's typically the way I feel when it's over. It's like, what? That was for, what are you talking about? I lose all kind of sense of time and space.
So you totally drop into the space.
Oh, absolutely.
What's the recovery time after one of those scenes?
Like physically recovered or?
Both.
Because of my masochism, I heal very quickly as far as physically. And it's very difficult to even leave a mark on my body anymore. Like, you really got to go at it to bruise myself, because my body has trained itself to accept it and be like, no, don't worry, guys. You know, we don't have to make a bruise. She does this all the time. You know, it's true, though. Like, your body kind of starts to learn to, you know, not freak out so much. So healing time that way, maybe at the most, if it's a really intense scene or a really intense SWAT, maybe 3-5 days that I'll have a bruise or a whip mark. But as far as emotionally or, you know, coming down off of the high that I get from it, at the most, maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I can feel the effects of it. You know, for days sometimes, maybe even a week sometimes if it's super intense and I want to, you know, I can feel the effects of a scene, a heavy impacting scene for weeks.
And even relive it to some degree.
There's certain scenes that I can, I'm right back in them to this day that I've experienced, and they're really special to me. But for the most part, for performance style pieces, I can be back. Good to go.
Before we run out of time here, a couple things I wanted to ask you. The hardware aspect of these anal snakes and things, these are from Primal Hardware?
Yes, I got the Tentacle from Primal Hardware, and it's an amazing toy. Let me just plug Primal Hardware real quick. It's quality, beautifully crafted, extremely detailed, comfortable. It's amazing. I'm allergic to a lot of different kinds of rubbers, and their toys are, they've been the best, and they're awesome. The other one is from, what did we find it? What did we figure that one was called?
That was Silicon Nozzles.
Silicon Nozzle, yes.
That's the shower snake.
Yes.
And so it has a hole down the middle of it that you hook up to a shower hose.
Yes, absolutely. And then I've got an array of other toys for people's advice. I can give them to you at the end of the show for you to write down if you'd like. But there's a couple other websites that have really amazing toys for length and probing. So
we'll put all those on the links on the show page so people can check it out.
Perfect.
Anything else you'd like to add, Abby? This has been a great conversation. Our listeners have picked up a lot of good information here.
Great. I would just like to add that if any listeners would like to, ask me anything, there's a lot of different ways that you can get a hold of me. I work on my free cams almost daily. Abigail Dupree is my model name. You can also email me at abigaildupree01@gmail.com. And I'm trying to Twitter, but I suck at it. And I don't even know my Twitter name.
All of your contacts will be on our show page if somebody wants to hunt you out.
I also want to add to, I mentioned the saline enema that I use to clean out my system, but I also do another enema solution that's really important if you're going to be cleaning out as much as I do. I do an acidophilus enema, which is basically probiotics, once a month to re-administer any good bacteria that I'm flushing from my system from doing so many enemas at one, in a month. So that's kind of important for your health, for your butthole health.
Where would you get this?
This you can get at any over-the-counter, at the grocery store, drugstore, acidophilus pills. They come in little pill form, or you can use live cultures from yogurt, unsweetened live culture yogurt, enema. Probiotics are basically just the good bacteria that you find in those things.
And science is finding more and more good causes and purposes for them. So keeping that balanced is important.
Yeah, and you can find recipes for probiotic or acidophilus enemas online everywhere. Yes, importante.
That is important stuff because taking all the bacteria out, good and bad, is going to leave you deficit at one point. And so getting the good stuff back in keeps everybody healthy and digestion working.
Absolutely.
Well, Abby, we are looking forward to your new adventures, and we'll be watching and seeing what you get into, or what gets into you in this case.
Well, thank you guys for having me on the show, and I'm expecting a date with Bender really soon here.
Oh, well.
Well, we will have to work out travel arrangements for sure. Bender will be one happy machine.
He'll be worn out. She'll kill him.
We may have to sell tickets for this and take bets. Who wins, Bender or the girl?
Ooh, let's see.
Abby
on.
Versus Bender. Mm.
Yes. I'm liking where this is going.
There it goes.
Yeah. You have streaming abilities, don't you, Woody?
I do.
What abilities?
Streaming video.
I do.
You do and I do. Wow.
So we're on. We can stream a live remote show with Abby Dupree.
Hmm. Pay-per-view.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
There it is.
We have just funded the trip.
There it is.
All right. It's
all solid. Right. Abby, it's been a real pleasure to have you back again, and we really hope to hear some of your new adventures soon.
Thank you very much. The pleasure was all mine.
You have been listening to episode 140 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we speak with Mr. O on Grappling Play.